Dane Green. Stats madness.
That was really slow.
Yeah. What do you want me to do? Be fast?
Well,
I dropped the ball just like the Celtics.
Wow. It's early.
Let's stop.
I'm coming right out of the gate.
Let's stop.
All right, this
let's
was supposed to be Stats Show, but his friends don't like him, or he can't. He can't close a deal. We'll call him Stats Ange. Can't close a deal.
Stats Ange.
So Dave and I are back here with Stats.
Welcome back.
He doesn't get to fly free.
No.
You know.
We were letting you spread your wings, but your friends just crashed and burned.
I know. Yeah. Gallstones are a son of a.
Stop it. That's the likely excuse. Like, yeah. Come on. Well, welcome back, everybody. How's everyone's summer?
It's going well.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, the draft sucked.
Could be better. Yeah.
Could be better.
A lot better.
But it's going to be very stats heavy today, so don't worry, you people watching. You're going to hear a lot from my man.
Yeah,
stats.
Nobody will hear too much of me and Kurt.
Yeah.
It's all going to be stats.
Well, you guys can have some input.
Well, we were there live.
I mean, you were at the draft party.
We were
go to the draft party.
You're in the background.
You can find
various photos.
I have a thought about that that draft party though. There was lots of free stuff, and I think there's a reason for
so,
it.
So this is the
they
rumor.
They were bamboozling us.
This is the rumor that I heard after the party.
Yeah.
I was talking to a few people. The free alcohol was supposed to be cut off right after the first pick.
Oh, really?
For the Celtics.
But they're like, look at.
So
this is
what
what's going
happened
on, so
was
let's give you some free alcohol.
When they picked up Terry, everybody was like, who the hell was that? And then immediately went to the bar. Do you remember the funniest part about the whole draft is as soon as the Celtics picked their first pick, everybody left. And like the place was ghost town.
Yeah.
And there was no lines at the bar. And everyone's like, I think Wick was like, let's keep the bar open.
Well, they already bought all the stuff, I'm sure. So.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. But it was supposed to cut off right after the first pick. And they were like, oh, Jesus, we screwed up. Well, we got our ninth guard. So let's keep it open.
Yeah, nine.
So,
huh?
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, this is going to be very stats heavy. So why don't I just turn it over now? We were there, but let's hear the smart man's thoughts.
So I just don't understand the Terry Rozier. I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of the other stuff later, but just the picks themselves. The Terry Rozier pick is just, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are trying to justify it and, you know, write articles about how it's not that bad and that kind of thing, but it's, you know, any pick is a chance. You're just taking a chance on some player, and I don't really care that he's a point guard. I just think there were better options no matter what position you were looking for.
So Danny came out and he said, this is the best position, or this is the best player on our list after all the players that we wanted were gone.
Yeah, and that's fine. That, you know, you draft best player available, because I don't think they're in a position where they should be drafting for need, because they're not close enough.
Right.
You know,
well, that was my next question.
If you're in the back half of the draft and you're trying to, you know, fill in some blank spaces on a contender, that's when you draft for need. When you're in the Celtics position, you get the best player available because, you know, you want the best players available to trade for a better player.
And then
right?
once you come to the 16th pick, even after you come after the 13th pick, you're not getting much anymore.
Well, I mean, people say that, but Kawhi Leonard was 15. Right. He was a Finals MVP. You know, Steph Curry was, what, 7?
Delonte West was 13.
Delonte West was 13. You know,
what
number was Rondo?
No.
He was late teens.
Jimmy Butler's going to be
21, I believe Rondo was.
Jimmy Butler's
right?
going to be a max player, you know, as of today.
He just canceled all his meetings for the next
week.
Yeah,
he was drafted 30th.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to hear this about, like, you can't find, you know, play. If that was true, then the Spurs would have been bad a long time ago.
Right.
You know, it just, you know, you're taking a chance and you need to identify, you know, you need to identify players where you can hedge your bets and make the best chance for yourself. So I think it's okay to draft best player available. That being said, I don't think, I just don't agree. I just don't see it.
I didn't see it. I didn't understand it.
I mean, anyone can look good in a 2-minute YouTube clip where they show their highlights and everything, but it's, you know, this guy didn't really push Russ Smith. You know, when he was a freshman, and he's an old sophomore, he had to spend an extra year in high school because he, you know, he had some trouble with his grades. You know, there's just a lot of red flags. I mean, we got another defensive first, you know, no shooting guard, and
right.
You know, I don't think we've seen, you know, with like Avery Bradley, like what his trade value is. It doesn't really seem like that's the kind of player that teams want. you know, for
it made us, it also made us look really bad too, because somebody sent us a picture of a Sam Decker jersey, Celtics jersey, and I had tweeted it out on the Gang Green page saying welcome to the Celtics.
And, well, because everyone just
and the next pick was not him. So
in the room, everyone just thought that Decker was coming.
Yeah.
And as someone who, like, I don't watch as much college as you, and that's why you're running the show pretty much. But I started talking myself into, oh, all right, I guess Decker can be the next Paul Pierce, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Any guy you take there, you're taking a risk on. But it just seems like, you know, even Decker, it took him 3 or 4 years to really make a mark at Wisconsin, you know? I just think there were better options there. And, you know, it almost seems foolish that they drafted R.J. Hunter, who was probably – you know, more of a number, you know, mid-teens pick later. But then again, R.J. Hunter had a pretty bad shooting season last year. And I know he had a good, you know, game in the tournament against I forget who, but, you know, it seems like another guy that is not good at what he's supposed to be good at.
Right.
And it's another guard, and it's just, you know, I'm happier with the Hunter pick because I think there's more – I see more potential there than I do with Rozier. But
and he's 6'6".
Yeah, he's got more size, you know, but like I said, I don't really care about their fit with the team. I just care about their, you know, what their ability could be, and I see more in Hunter than I do in Rozier.
All right, so tell me this. I'm very good at just saying negative, 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 negative.
It's true.
So let's take a break from that. And who would you have taken available at 16?
I think they're going to regret not taking Bobby Portis. I think a lot of teams are. I think he was by far the best player available to them. I think the players that went just before them were probably the guys that I would have targeted. Maybe not Oubre, but I think Oubre has a lot of talent. I really like the kid that the Thunder got, the guard there. I think it's Cameron Payne. I really like him a lot in this draft. You know, there were guys that were available. I would have rather have seen them take Justin Anderson, the kid from Virginia, just because, you know, I think that kind of 3-and-D player is going to be more valuable in the league going forward than a undersized guard that, you know, you're really taking a dream on. You know, but there were plenty of players that I would have rather have seen them taken. You know, I think you could even talk me into Sam Decker or someone like that instead of Rozier.
What really got me with that pick is, I mean, the whole room, like, went silent. It was really weird being there because I had never heard of the kid. Mm-hmm. And I admit that every year around this time, around March and around now, I'm like, man, I really, really need to watch more college.
I say the same thing.
Because
and I start to.
More so this time of year because I'm like, I don't know who these kids are.
Right.
But I just don't have the time to invest, you know, whatever. But I would love to know more about these, and I don't. And I heard this kid's name, and I was like, you know, you watch the tournament, you think you know at least 15, 20 mm-hmm. kids' names. Never heard this kid's name in my life.
Yeah.
And then I saw, like, 6'2", and instantly I'm like, okay, so our four best guards are my height and under? Like,
yeah.
How does that?
You know, and even if you look at, like, the more, you know, detailed stuff, it's, like, 6 feet without shoes on, and you're just kind
of
like,
yeah.
Oh, God. But, yeah, I mean, it was disappointing. I mean, we could talk about the second-round picks and, you know, Mickey and Thornton, but those are more guys that you're kind of, you know, dreaming on. I mean, so Mickey had more of a, you know,
I feel like that's what a second-round pick is supposed to be, though.
Yeah, and I guess that's the problem is the Rozier pick feels like a second-round pick, and then it's, like, just really hopeful. You know, I mean, you'd like to have more certainty. I'd like to have a guy that performed better at the college level. Especially a guy that had 2 years there. But yeah, I mean, Jordan Mickey from LSU, I mean, he might fit some of their needs. I mean, I think that, you know, kind of position is pretty, you know, it's a good thing to gamble on, you know, a guy that's kind of undersized, but might still be good defensively, I think can be pretty valuable to a lot of teams. He's not a guy that's going to command a lot of money. You know, that's a good pick. I mean, Marcus Thornton playing for William and Mary, I mean, no one saw him play. So,
right.
You know, it's a total gamble. The guys that scouted him know way more than, you know, anyone else does about him.
I feel like with these four picks, you shouldn't even bother to get to know any of them because they just seem like they're kind of like they're going to be out the window soon.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe Hunter. Maybe you'll keep Hunter. But, like, I honestly don't see
I mean, you could argue you should say that about the rest of the roster, though.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how many people on this roster are going to be there?
Right. I mean, they've already offered almost everybody to move up in the draft, and then nothing ever became of it. And then Danny Ainge came out several times and said no one's safe. And it made you think, be like, is he just saying no one's safe, or is really no one safe? Like,
no one's
would
safe.
Would he trade Isaiah Thomas?
He's your best piece right now.
Right, he's your best piece, but like, is he safe?
I mean, he is, but what real value does Isaiah Thomas have? I mean, he's got a controllable contract. He's a good six man. He's not going to stand anyone up defensively. Right. You know, I mean, he's a real liability on the offensive end. So, you know, you really need to take into account what he really is.
Right.
And, you know, he's a movable piece, so hopefully that's what they end up doing. I mean, the thing that I really want to get to, though, I guess, is the couple trades that we heard about.
Thank you.
So the first one is that we heard before the draft is the Philadelphia trade where they offered Smart for Noel plus some picks, and the third pick was involved, maybe.
I kind of want to pause you right there because this trade played into the whole night.
Yeah.
Right.
Because everyone in that room, as soon as the Lakers picked
Russell.
Everyone silent.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You could hear a pin drop because everyone's like, oh, man. And I think someone even
said, if you remember, as soon as the Lakers picked Russell, the whole place erupted.
They rushed Steve Pagliuca out of the room. So everyone's like, oh, something's going on, you know?
Huh.
And then so even when they picked their first pick, you're still kind of like, all right, well, that's really weird. Maybe something's still going on.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh. I mean,
so being in the room was kind of like, okay, this is a weird pick.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Philly,
Philly,
that's why you don't trade that pick, because you don't know what the two guys ahead of you are going to do.
Right.
I don't think anyone really projected the Lakers to skip Okafor.
Right.
So, I mean, that's why you hold on to that pick.
Were you surprised that the Lakers picked Russell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Russell thing, I did watch him play a lot. Playing for Ohio State, he's pretty, you know, visible.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I think he's it's tough to describe. I just think he has a chance of being great, definitely. But I think he has just as good of a chance to be not great.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think his status and everything might have been a little bit overplayed here. You know, the thing about Okafor is just that he's been so good for so long. I mean, he was the best player on the U18 team that won the championship. He's the best player on, like, the U21 team. I mean, he's consistently been the best player for his age group for forever.
Right.
And it always shocks me that, like, you know, guys like Towns that, like, don't even play a ton of minutes get kind of, you know, guys fall in love with them because of the workouts and everything and going to Kentucky and playing with a team full of all-stars, essentially. And, you know, I mean, not that Duke is – a slouch in that category, but
right.
You know, that's always interesting to me. I mean, and I can't
so
see how
you
Philly would have
loved if that had gone through and the Celtics.
I just
got
can't
Oak
see
front.
How Philly would have rationalized that with their whole philosophy and everything. I mean, the other trade was maybe more interesting just on a analytical level. I mean, offering
because Winslow was falling.
So Justice Winslow is falling to, and he's fallen to 9, and you think you can get the Bobcats to trade back because, you know, I mean, maybe Kaminsky will still be there. Nope. I kind of doubt it. But, you know, what they ended up offering, if it's true, and Danny said, you know, he was happy in hindsight that they didn't accept it. I mean, it just seems like
that was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it just
it was. It
that
was almost
really perplexes
too much.
Me. It just seems like they were trying so hard to do something that they, you know, almost
did something stupid. Was it six or nine picks? Six
first round picks.
Six first round picks.
I mean,
is Winslow worth it?
First of all, no. second of all, like, what? Why would you give up like six lottery chances for one?
Right.
That's just moving you up like seven spots.
Right.
I mean, you have to be
because
certain.
They said they were going to do something.
But you have to be so certain that Justice Winslow, if that's the guy that you've identified, is going to be the guy.
Right.
You have to be so sure. And I just don't think you can be that certain about a guy that's already dropping that far.
Right.
You know, I mean, Justice Winslow, you know, he did some things well. He wasn't a great rebounder. He wasn't a great scorer. I know he had a good game in the title game, but it's, you know, it's one game. And, you know, there's a body of work that you have to take into account, too. And, I mean, you know, you can go up and down the draft and talk about guys that, you know, shouldn't have been there or whatever, but, you know, that's the game of the draft. But just it's really telling that they had to – that they almost did that. And it's – you know, they're really lucky that Charlotte stuck to their guns. And, I mean, I think if you're Charlotte, I don't think there's any way you turn that down unless you're sure Kaminsky's the thing.
Right.
You know? It seems like there's a lot of people that are – I mean, it seems like Jordan was afraid to make a mistake, like almost too afraid.
Well, I mean, he's made.
He's
quite
been
a
burned.
Few. Yeah.
You know,
he's a bad drafter.
Yeah. So.
Olakande.
Yeah, Kwame. Yeah. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, it was a fascinating night from the Celtics' perspective.
So what went through your head when the Kings picked up Willie Cauley-Stein? Were you instantly thinking about DeMarcus Cousins coming here, or is that not even on your radar?
It's not on my radar. Maybe it's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
I didn't want Willie Cauley-Stein either, to be completely honest.
He's going to the Lakers anyways.
It's Cousins?
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a quick break, right?
All right.
We're going to show some video from that night that it's Wick.
It's not incriminating video, is it?
I hope not. It's Wick explaining the pick,
mm-hmm.
and Brad Stevens talking about
Rozier and everything.
Yeah, which is funny because the next day I read some quote about Brad Stevens being like, what are you doing? I don't understand what you're doing. And then he came out and talked to us and said that he loved the guy. So
right.
It's kind of funny. But we'll show a quick couple videos from Wick and Brad Stevens. Then we'll come back and we'll dive a little bit deeper into this stuff. How's right. that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hey, for all you Celtics fans out there who want to leave a message for the gang, the number is 508-731-GGTV. Once again, 508-731-4488. Thanks for tuning in and stay infected.
The pick is in. I'm going to hear from the boss himself. Here is the managing partner, governor, and CEO of the Boston Celtics. It'll be a great pleasure to introduce Rick Carlsbad.
I walked in and felt like I had a couple of beers just walking through the doors. So I must have been having fun out here. There's a lot of excitement down there among the basketball staff. This pick, they had targeted Terry Rozier. He came in and worked out for us twice. Brad, I just spoke with Brad. Brad said he has got maybe the highest work ethic and probably the fastest player in the draft. He is an athletic freak. He is an unbelievably skilled and tough player, two-way player, and Danny and Brad are really over the moon about this pick. We did try to trade up. We put more assets into offers for trades, for picks, higher picks, than I've ever seen in 13 years in the league, and it didn't happen. So we put everything out there. People did not move. People did not give up their picks. And so we stuck with our 16 pick and made this pick. We now have a very, very deep, obviously, point guard and guard position. We got deeper. This is not a message to any current point guards or any other guards. This is a young player, played 2 years at Louisville, but a young player who needs to develop into being a fine NBA player. We believe he will. And you'll hear more from the people who really make the pick, Danny and Brad, later on. But I got to say, there's a lot of excitement down in the room. And there's a lot of excitement for me personally on the business side, saying thank you all for supporting the team. We like where it's going, and this is another step in that direction. Thank you.
Can echo what Rick said, and I'm not going to be up here very long because I know how quickly those phones are ringing with the opportunities to make changes, whatever the case may be, and move around with three more picks left. But I will tell you this, is what I've learned in my short amount of time here, is that there are certain guys that really catch your attention and catch your eye on intangible type things. And the one thing that completely translates throughout all levels of basketball is if you're one of the toughest, if you're one of the most athletic, and then I think bigger than anything, if you're one of the most driven, then you have a real chance. And that's the way we felt about Terry. And Danny has brought this up early on that he was a favorite of his. And the more you watched him, we had him in twice for workouts, one time early. We had him another time this week. He was on his 18th workout. He was bouncing all over the gym. We think he's a really special talent. And as the NBA, like all of you have seen, really goes positionless in a lot of ways, we just think that right now, the opportunity to grab a guy with this much upside, with the highest level of toughness and drive, is the right pick in the right time. Well, I'm really excited about Terry. I think you'll really enjoy Terry. I think he brings a lot of the same intangible attributes that you saw out of Marcus Smart. And I think we all can say, no matter where Marcus Smart was playing on the court, he helped to win basketball games. And I'm excited about that. So I hope you all are too. I'm going to head back down and see whatever this night has left in it. And thanks a lot for coming. I hope you have a good night.
And we're back. So we wanted to talk about what's the direction going forward. Where do we see this team going?
Sideways.
You know, the roster, it's there's a lot of guards on it. Who do we want to see, you know, maybe not here come the fall? What free agents we ideally want to see come in? Kurt?
I have an answer to who I don't want to see here.
Go for it.
Kelly Olynyk.
Wow.
Surprise. I believe it was the entire season where we dumped upon him.
All right. You've had a lot of growth this summer, Kurt.
I have.
Really,
I've been thinking
change.
About it. I've been thinking about it, and I wanted to move forward and get over that, but I can't.
Okay.
So
just the hair? Or?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just the
See her, Kevin Love. Could be anything.
Someone has to take the brunt of it, and I've nominated Kelly Olynyk.
Okay.
So
good to know.
At least I'm honest, right?
Yeah, I mean.
That's true.
You know, is there anyone you want to see replace him, that kind of thing?
Yes. Marc Gasol.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Marc Gasol is taking any other meetings.
Oh, well. Then.
What about you, Dave?
Well, I don't want to dip too far into free agency when we do have our free agency show next week, but I wouldn't mind seeing all these picks disappear that we took last Thursday. Maybe bundling up, grab something. I know there's a lot of free agents coming out. I don't know. Like, it's tough to call because there's a lot of players that you know won't come here. But there's a lot of players that you can just say, why not? I mean, we have an extra $17 million that we have to spend soon. So, I mean, I'm not saying dump all that money into, like, a guy like David West. But, like, you know, there's a Kevin Love. There's a David West. There's a Paul Pierce. There's just – I mean, Jimmy Butler's off the table now. You'll never see him again.
Yeah.
You know what, honestly, I want to do is, as I've been thinking about the last couple of days, is I don't want to just give someone money just to give them money.
Well, that's the thing. You got to be careful.
Like, in those draft picks we just picked, you can't flip those right now. You have to hope they play well and then flip them.
Yeah.
Because if we're sitting here as fans going, what the hell did the Celtics do? You think the other GMs want those guys?
Right.
There's no chance.
Right. I just feel it like there's a logjam in the guard position. So there's nine guys. You have to get rid of at least, six of them?
Poor Brad Stevens. I think we should give him, like, another four-year extension because, like, his first 3 years are just, like.
But, I mean, honestly, though, how many guards do you have to give up right now?
I mean, at least two, right? I mean, I think Phil Pressey's days, you know, he should
done.
Be renting if he's not already.
Yeah.
You know, but. You got to move one guy. I don't know who. I think, like Kurt said, I think you move a known commodity because,
right.
You know, I doubt anyone else is going to gamble on R.J. Hunter without seeing him
right.
play.
Well, that's a great point. You're absolutely right.
So Pressey's gone. I would Bradley or Thomas. Right?
Why not package?
Bradley,
why not
Thomas?
Package Bradley?
Maybe Marcus Smart because you drafted another point guard.
Yeah, I mean, I can see Bradley or Smart going to a team that needs some, you know, defensive help.
Yeah.
On guards, you know.
And that may not be till the – is it before the season? Is it the trade deadline?
And you got to think something's going to happen before the season. I mean,
yeah.
There's going to be some roster turnover there. I don't know how much.
There has to be. There has to
you
be.
You know, I mean, they lost Bass and Jerebko to, you know, unrestricted free agency.
Right.
They got to take care of Crowder and –
Which doesn't
you know.
Mean they can't get Jerebko back. Bass, I think that
his
we should
time's
just –
probably.
We should just part our ways with Bass.
Yeah,
I think
he needs to go try to shoot for a contender or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah he's
that.
Better served on, like,
yeah.
even a Dallas or, you
yeah.
know.
You know, thanks for all your –
Yeah.
Your
the
players,
Clippers.
But.
Maybe Doc wants another former player, you know.
I mean, I think the guy that I kind of think they should target is someone like Robin Lopez.
Robin Lopez.
I agree with that.
Someone that, you know, not the most heralded person, but also isn't going to be a max guy like maybe Brooke, his brother Brooke Lopez is, or, you know.
Can we get both of them? They're both free
I don't know
agents.
If I want Brooke. He's just so unhealthy.
Yeah. I'm 100% with you because, like I'm saying, like you hear like Monroe wants a max deal.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to give that guy a max deal.
I think they need to wait for the market to shake out because, you know, Monroe wants a max deal now. By the time Aldridge and Love and LeBron are taken care of, then there's going to be less teams that can offer it.
I honestly think whatever team offers a max deal is just kind of wasting their money.
But the reason I like Robin Lopez and I think he's like my number one right now is because he's a good player, right?
Right.
And he can come into this team. And all I want as a fan right now is I don't want any bad moves. I don't want to waste any more assets.
You know, poor Damian Lillard. He's all alone now.
Yeah, he's going to be
pretty much
alone.
He's out in Portland just all by himself now.
But you have to wonder what they're going to do. That's kind of a gutted team.
That's a team dump right there.
Wes Matthews is a free
LaMarcus Aldridge would be great, but that's
– But I would take Robin Lopez because he's good. He's going to play defense. He's going to get you rebounds, right,
mm-hmm.
what they need.
Yeah.
And if the team stays fun to watch and you can see some of these young kids develop into assets, as a fan, I'm okay with that.
Right.
I mean, I think they're in an interesting position
and then
where –
next year, flip some more, you know, like –
Yeah. They're in an interesting position where they need to make the team better so Marcus Smart looks better. You know what I mean?
Right.
If they go with the team that's just the scrubs, then – that plays like the Sixers, then a guy like Marcus Smart isn't going to get to be as good as he can be.
Well,
because he's going to be carrying too much load. You know, there's going to be no defense behind him. He's going to look bad.
It's almost like what they were trying to do with Rondo before he just kept falling out of the shower and breaking his hand. Where they were trying to make him look better.
Jumping on trampolines.
On trampolines and just doing whatever. But, like, they were trying to pump him up for his trade value and kind of showcasing his talents, but then he just kept getting hurt. But, I mean, we still got a decent deal for him.
Yeah, we got a good haul for him.
You know, we took a lot of things out of Dallas.
Considering what he gave to Dallas.
Seriously.
Right.
You know, just a fight with a coach.
He got a pink slip.
Yeah. Because I love Jay Crowder.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, the end result is Isaiah Thomas here. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, they're in an interesting situation for sure. I mean, they need to put themselves in a position where they, you know, are compliant with the salary cap. They don't make any moves that are going to tie them up for years and years.
Nope.
And they need to build these assets up so they can, you know. I think people forget they traded players for Kevin Garnett. They didn't trade picks.
Right.
So while these picks are, you know, they have some value now, it's still just a lottery ticket. And you need to trade the lottery tickets that hit to get guys like Kevin Garnett. You know, just a blank slate.
And like the draft kind of shocked me, and I thought something was going to happen, and it didn't. But as the time goes by, as a fan, I really am okay with not just with this free agency coming up. Don't make any like stupid move. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with a mediocre team if they're fun to watch. If we have the second half Celtics last year, fine. Let's develop these kids. Let's do 06 all over again, right?
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, I'm going to miss those guys. Oh, but Kevin Garnett's here, so that's okay.
The one problem I have with that, though, is like in retrospect, you know, Danny Ainge offers 6 picks for that number 9 position, and if they lost 3 more games, they would have had the number 9 pick.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I know. Right, yeah.
I mean, it seems like dumb. It's like, you know, I mean, they ended up getting swept by Cleveland. And
I mean,
like,
who do you blame on this? Do you blame the East or do you blame the Celtics?
I mean, part of it's the East and bad Charlotte
was. We had a losing record into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's really not
It's a bad East, but it's not. I mean, hey, you know.
3 games, though.
You guys were a team.
Games.
You guys were a team
of
nobodies.
Lost.
And there was a team of, like, basically nobodies, and they made the playoffs.
But we got caught up in it.
Oh yeah, definitely. It was more fun to watch the year before,
definitely.
Which it counts for something. I don't know how much.
We got so used to Celtics playoff basketball that when we didn't have it for that year or two, we were just like,
no, I don't think it had to do with the playoffs. I think it had to do with the product, because I think that second half team last year was more fun to watch, whether they made the playoffs.
Without a doubt.
There's a lot less pressure too. I mean, the end of like the Kevin Garnett years, you're like, God, I hope he stays healthy. And like, just watching the games was a lot more stressful when it's like just Isaiah Thomas flying around. You're like, who cares? So I think usually we end the Stats Madness shows with kind of some predictions, I guess. Rookie of the Year. You guys have any thoughts?
I'm I'm gonna go Okafor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was my neck and neck with who I picked. You got one, Kurt?
Yeah.
You
had a good TR.
TR? Terry Rozier? Yeah. Okay. I have Emmanuel Mudiay.
Really?
I don't know how to spell his last name, or I say his last name.
Really?
For Denver.
Yeah.
I think they're going to end up trading Lawson, give him plenty of time and stuff. He had some pro experience last year in China. I think that's going to help him a lot.
That is a very bold pick.
I really like him. He was one of the guys I wanted to target if I could. Him and Okafor were probably my two this year.
I'm surprised he didn't get picked. If he fell in the draft, he would have got picked by Danny. He's a friggin' god.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So,
why not? He must have been higher on the guard list than Rozier. Okay, I hope, anyway.
You hope.
Any other predictions for these guys?
No, and I know free agency actually starts in a little while tonight.
Yeah. Free agency starts in less than an hour and a half.
We will be back next week to talk about that.
Yeah.
Any last-second predictions or anyone you really want to say? We've already touched on a little bit.
Are we talking free agent predictions? Yeah. Man, free agency is my second favorite day in the NBA.
All right.
Next to the draft day, followed by the lottery ping pong day.
I'm staying with Robin Lopez. I guess this is a safe bet.
Safe bet.
I think of Robin.
I want to say, I'm so petrified that, this is where I'm at now. I'm petrified that they're going to do something that's going to screw everything up. So I just want the safe. I'm going Robin Lopez the whole way.
Can I do some quick draft stuff since we didn't get to?
Yes.
Just keep in mind that most draft guys that get drafted end up not being good.
Right.
So with that in mind, I don't like Russell, Porzingis, Cauley-Stein, Turner or Lyles. I really liked Oubre, Payne, Booker, Mudiay. Okafor, I think, was the best player. I'm shocked he went three. I like Wright, Justin Anderson, Bobby Portis, Tyus Jones, good pick. And I thought the Warriors kind of stole Kevin Looney. I don't know why he fell that low. He put up double-doubles as a freshman at UCLA. I thought he was a great player. So kind of look at those guys as, my quasi-draft grades.
Yeah.
And you hate the Celtics picks.
Yeah, I mean, I think they might have had the worst.
All four of them?
Let's get this out on the air. You said that night this might be worse than Fab Melo.
Oh, yeah. I think the Rozier pick is worse than Fab Melo.
So that's crazy.
So before
Fab
we
Melo's
have to
tall.
Go, though.
Like, you could say a lot of things about, basketball players. Like, you can't teach height.
Yeah.
And I can see dreaming on Fab Melo because he's tall and, when you watch Fab Melo play, you're like, God, you can teach him. You know what I mean? Like he just does stupid stuff.
Like, yeah. Well,
with
Rozier, he fell through
a
chair. He hit his head walking through a door.
Yeah, I mean,
you're a tall guy. You should know how to duck.
I mean, I remember distinctly watching Fab Melo, have, an inbounds violation at Syracuse because he was, walking up the court while he's inbounding the ball after a make. And you're just like, okay, he just needs practice. It's not soccer. He's not used to it in Brazil. He just needs practice. But I was really disappointed in the Rozier pick. Just another guard that can't shoot.
Right.
We only have three of them.
Yeah. Why? What's another one? Right. Yeah.
How much time do we have left?
No. Whatever you want, Dave. Whatever you want.
Well, I just want to get to the question. We did get a question.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
508-731-GGTV. We did get a question from our fan in New Hampshire. He doesn't leave a name, and he probably won't. So
okay.
Mysterious New Hampshire.
Is it you?
It's not me.
Okay.
It is. What do you give the Celtics got a hard F? He's given them a hard F.
Well, Stasha said it was worse than Fab Melo.
So that's a very hard F.
Yeah.
And he asked if the Celtics have been blackballed by other GMs, and that's why trades weren't accepted.
I'm into conspiracy theories. That's a little out there.
Do you?
I don't know if they're blackballed as much as
I
think we just overstate their assets.
Yeah.
And we think that, Marcus Smart or we think Kelly Olynyk and Jared Sullinger have value when in reality I think you can walk down the street and pick up Kelly Olynyk and Jared Sullinger.
You know, I mean he brings up a decent question and the conspiracies run rampant in the NBA, but you brought up a great thing today where the whole Jordan thing with he's just afraid to move. So Danny could have offered him the world and Jordan was like, no, I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna try to pick. You know, so I mean,
because it's not just the draft picks for him. It's, you know, he traded Tyson Chandler for pretty much nothing and gave Dallas a championship.
To say blackballed, it's kind of like that's out there. It is. It's kind of like, you know, what gives you that kind of.
I mean, you know, he made plenty of trades last season.
Right.
You know, he's got to have some relationship with these guys.
And I thought he did well last season.
I thought he did great.
I think that's the thing is I think just the. There's not a lot of certainty with his assets. Even the Brooklyn picks, you're like, man, they're probably going to be good picks, but you never know how the balls are going to bounce. You never know if Brooklyn's willing to spend money, they might spend their way out of it.
Right.
And I bet you Danny's too afraid to let those Brooklyn picks go just yet.
Well, it seemed like from the reports he offered at least one for the number 9 pick, which is just like
anyways.
But the
player trades are one thing. You know, because there's a lot of times where you look at a player and you're like, hey, he'd be all right here, but I don't know if I want him here, you know? So it's kind of like then you entice it with a little couple of draft picks and you're like, well, I don't know. Let me just sit on and see what I can get. And I'm sure Danny was on the phone with Philadelphia all the way up until Russell was picked by the Lakers, and I'm sure Philly just said, I got to go. Bye.
Yeah, I don't think there was any way they were trading Noel,
No.
I mean – Philly, historically, they've been trading all these picks for more picks and stuff, so I can't blame them for trying, but it's, you know.
Now, I bet you if Okafor went first or even second, I'm sure a trade would have happened.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there wasn't a lot of trading, at least in the first half of this draft.
There was none.
Compared to last year.
I think the only trade that went down, I think the Hawks traded their pick with
It was
Dallas,
after the 10,
maybe.
Top 10 or something
like
that.
It was after the Celtics.
It was way up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
Anyways, next week we'll talk about free agency.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I'm excited.
The roster might make some –
might be a little bit of a clearer picture.
Well, within a week, there's going to be a way bigger, clearer picture.
And we have some – we might have – we'll have summer games to talk about, right?
Summer league starts pretty
soon. Summer league starts soon.
Like this weekend, I believe.
Yeah, it might.
So, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. You watch that stuff, right?
We'll talk about
usually.
That.
Yeah. I will try to as well.
Yeah. Just give
so
me
free agency next week. We'll
put the highlights across.
Maybe we'll try to figure out what the heck direction the Celtics really are going.
Maybe you have. Well, you know what? When you fall in a hole, you have to dig up.
All right. Well, that's what we'll do. We'll dig up.
I'm gonna dig up.
So we'll see you next week.
How do you know you're digging up?
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
We'll let you think about that for the whole week.
Great.
All right. All right. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Stats, for all the info.
Thanks Stats.
Thanks,
good
Thanks,
show,
Dave.
Buddy.
Thank you. Stay infected. Peace.